This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Let's begin. Yeah, that was a confident nod. Episode 56.
Wait, did you already actually press the button? Or we begin?
Oh, yes. Nice. You should know when I sit up slightly straighter that I'm probably recording, as if anyone can see us, which may or may not happen in the future. There is
Tell them your plan.
Someone that we really respect suggested that we look at making this audio format also a video, so that would mean releasing them how we normally release them, but also potentially on YouTube or clips on LinkedIn, whatever we decide to do, who knows? We've been doing this for over a year, so you think we'd have it figured out by now, but nope. So that's
absolutely not.
That's the current thought, is maybe there are videos to come, which I guess some people like better. I don't know. I'm used to just audio, but if it reaches more viewers, wow.
I think like by definition it would reach view. Right now we have no viewers.
No, you're assuming anyone would watch it. Like people have to still watch it to be viewers. It would just be,
yeah, exactly.
Well, it's just me.
That's if it reaches
anyone. Yeah, no, like, anyone, it doesn't reach now.
Yeah, sure. I guess. I mean, we're not building an empire, so there's only like, I don't know. I picture like seven people. You know, seven people.
And six of them are related to us. That's the audience that I picture in my head too. So yeah, no, I totally agree.
So if any of our relatives would like to see us, but it actually would cut down on the number of times that we go somewhere and people say that we look different than our voice, or specifically you.
I know. It's probably the mustache. But I think we have to do like the first video is we also have some sort of like measuring tape behind us so people can then be, oh, okay, they're this tall as well. So when they see us.
Oh, that's true.
They know
most of the
are.
Time. Yeah. That's actually the most common comment that, like the first like social thing that somebody will say to me personally, if they've only seen me virtually or on like, if I talk to them on a screen and then I see them in person is, wow, you're a lot taller than I thought you were.
Yeah. And I always get like, wow, you look decidedly worse than I thought you did. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm,
you're like, least, well, it's the filter.
At least
the
I'm 6 feet. That's all I can hang my hat on. That's all I got. But okay, so that might be coming down the pipeline. TBD. Don't hold us to it. Maybe. We'll see. If you start seeing videos, you know we've done it. Which brings us to today's episode, which is titled, what is it? Something Very Obvious?
Yeah, because you said on the last episode that if we were going to talk about questions and question types, and you said if you liked those questions you just heard, it might be next episode, and we will call it Something Very Obvious so that you know.
And to which, to your credit, the baseline that is your humor, which I am working on actively to improve, you're like, we should call it Something Very Obvious. That'll be funny. And I was like, okay. If you need this,
like,
that's
fine. I will humor you. It's like, is it Amelia Bedelia, the character that takes everything literally?
I don't know. But the fact that you know that, I'm going to guess yes, that it is. That sounds right to me.
So we'll call it Something Very Obvious. But it actually has kind of a dual meaning, because the Something Very Obvious that we are going to talk to is actually something that I think very incorrectly believed was very obvious.
This is one of the places that you and I are very different, which a lot of people know us, know that we're very similar. Mm-hmm. In this way, we are very different.
Correct. I had just this underlying belief system that in teaching like the foundational concepts of what you need to know in this space, that how you extrapolate and use them is very obvious. And it's not. It's not very obvious. And in some cases, I'm surprised by responses when I say like a offhanded comment when we're talking in training, and I give an example that I kind of think is like not even a very useful example, sort of an obvious example, and people's responses are, that was incredibly helpful. And that's when Matt, you usually like elbow me or knee me saying like, yeah, that this is what I've been telling you, you need to give more examples.
Yeah, it's hard for me. I think maybe I'm that can come off as very unintelligent, and who am I to say whether that's true or not? But I find, I think the hop, learning about hop, and this is not just with hop for me, but just learning about how deep it is and how complex it is and how much goes into it, it was very hard for me to extrapolate the, okay, so then in this next situation, I would do it differently this way.
Mm, yep.
That wasn't, oh, well, if I have a problem, I'll run a learning team.
Yeah.
Because that to me is very handhold, do this, then do that.
Yeah.
Which people do. But for me, it's very challenging to hear something that's like, hey, I want to rock the way that you think to the core. And then when you exist tomorrow, you'll know what to do, right? It's like, no, I won't. I will default.
I cannot make this into a rule set that I use in my life every day.
And also, this is the hard part that I also get stuck on all the time. It is a lot to learn, to feel like you get hop to your core.
I thought you were going to say, like, I'm a lot.
You're a lot. Yeah, that is. I think we have 55 other episodes that get into that. But this is about, it's, we train this stuff. So people will pay us to come and train them. And I, during the first 6 months, didn't do any speaking on as I was working with you. I just kind of sat there and absorbed it. And it took a lot of learning to get comfortable with it. And people often only get to hear us once or hear this subject once or twice, and then they're expected to do things differently. And that's a huge ask because it is a lot to digest.
Yeah.
So then when you're faced with a circumstance that isn't directly presented to you, it can be really challenging to then apply this thing you heard maybe once or twice from a weird lady and a funny guy and go and use it.
Yeah. Very challenging. Which I think why that's generally my argument always is hopefully this will spark somebody's interest and then they can go deeper in the subject so that they can understand it, which was kind of the thought process behind even having something like this podcast was a resource that people could hear over and over again that hopefully answers some of the questions or sort of extends beyond what we might talk about in a teaching or a workshop type discussion session, that they could just go pick something that didn't make sense or that they needed to hear more reps of. And I think that routinely, and you have proven it to me over and over again, I very much underestimate what it takes to get this information into a place where then it's easy to act upon it, like how much exposure to this concept that it takes. And so what we thought might be helpful is expanding upon one of the things that when I mentioned this example, people say, that was really helpful. I wish we had more of that. And so...
And then I'm in the background like, yeah.
So we're going to do that.
Say more.
That's why we're going to do that. And so the example, like usually how this comes up in like a training session is we will be talking about the difference between system problems and person problems, which we've talked probably ad nauseum on this podcast about. And then we give an example of being able to switch between the two of those is as simple as asking a different question. And this...
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I just don't... I want... It is, the behavior is as simple as asking a different question. Getting to the place in which you think to ask a different question is hard.
Is my blind spot.
Yes. You're like, hey, it's easy. You just do it.
However like, many minutes.
No, we just said this is challenging.
Yes. Okay. So getting to a place where you would know to think to ask that question is the hard part. Then asking the question itself, what are we naming this episode? It feels to me as
something very obvious.
Something very obvious, but it is not very obvious. And so this is my blind spot that we will continue to work on for me. And the ability to hear information as it comes in, recognize that this piece of information is probably based on a few different assumptions, and it's pointing more at the people being the problem, and then taking that and turning it back around and asking somebody to provide you different information. That's actually what we want to talk about in this podcast. And the reason we want to talk about it is, you know, thematically, we've said many times that great leaders make great decisions when they have great information. And this is part of the great information that we would need. So who we're picturing being able to use this skill would be someone who has some amount of direct authority or influential authority, in which they have to make decisions based on information that other people are bringing them. So they might not have enough time to go out in the field and ask questions directly, but they do have to make strategic decisions based on information that others bring to the table. So that could be, you know, anyone from like a business leader or a service leader or a plant manager or a group leader of some type of region. And the example that we've used in training before was a plant manager who had, I think it was a group of a couple engineers come up to him and say something to the effect of, "Hey, we've got a problem. Our operators keep dropping this part. They really don't know or understand how expensive it is." Now, for a little bit of context, in this place, if you drop this part, you can actually scrap the part. You have to do a lot of rework to it. Like, the part itself is fragile enough that dropping it, the impact itself, can create a quality issue. All right. So that's the information the engineers are bringing to a plant manager. "Hey, these folks keep dropping the part. They really don't understand how expensive it is." Now, if we're hearing this through a non-hop lens, at least in the world that I came from, the information is sort of taken at directly face value, and then the problem is defined as people don't understand how expensive it is. And then the belief behind that would be something as simple as, if they understood how expensive it is, they wouldn't drop the part. Like, that's kind of this linear, oversimplified, assumption-filled thought process that we sometimes use, especially when we're really stressed and we have a lot of things going on. And I don't know, Matt, in from what you've learned by talking to lots of different organizations,
yes,
what would that then look like in terms of the actions that people took?
Could look like we have to retrain the employees. It could be that we have to do something to make sure they're constantly situationally aware.
Oh, yeah.
It could be talking about being more careful. I mean, there's a lot of things that we default to that are I'll say easy button, but I don't mean easy in the sense of they're low lift to do them. I mean easy in the sense that they're familiar, mm-hmm. and we believe they do something.
Or maybe we just give them like some grippy gloves with the hope that, like, we kind of like believing a little bit systems thinking of like, well, the grippy gloves, without any more information, this is going to fix it must be because the hands are slippery. Like, it must be, you know, that's why you drop things, is because your hands are slippery. So we'll give them grippy gloves.
And after then, the stand down and the
after the stand down and after the, you know, the reminding people of it's really important that we're situationally aware and that the part is really expensive. And so the new mandate is that everybody wear grippy gloves so that we don't drop the part.
And maybe we'll audit a little bit more around that and make sure they're wearing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, I don't know. I mean, at least in the world that, you know, we've seen, that's a pretty typical response. Now, if you took that same thought process and you applied this hop lens, what you would be hearing as the leader is that somebody's bringing you a problem statement that, I don't know, may be based on just assumptions. And it sounds really oversimplified, right? So, like, the cause and effect doesn't quite make sense when you think about it, of like, oh, that's the equivalent of saying if people cared more and tried harder, they would be better. And that thought process no longer makes a lot of sense if you've been steeped in these hop concepts of like, well, that's kind of an oversimplified version of caring more is not directly causal to not dropping something. And so because you have that thought process in the back of your mind, you'd actually reflect back a systems related question where you'd say something like, "Hey, thanks for bringing me that information. Would you be willing to go learn where it's easy to drop the part?" So you take the only factual information, if you pick that apart from the sentence, which is people are dropping parts, and then you reflect back a way for somebody to go learn maybe more valuable information to you as a leader about how that's happening. And you push people to go look at the process, right? So I'm going to take this and I'm going to say, go look at the process and find me our hotspots in the process, right? Find me our places where it's more difficult so that we can look into each of those places and actually have a really good understanding of anything that is actually causal within those places in the process.
So yes, I mean, you're hearing something and then you're stripping it back to so let's focus on the system, but you also therefore are making assumptions about the people that is positive.
Correct. Right. The meaning that you're not assuming that the operators just aren't caring enough, and like that you're not taking that as a real answer to something.
Yeah.
Right. That's you label that more as an assumption. Now, if somebody goes and they look at the process, and they find that people are just throwing the part on the ground because they don't know it's expensive and they think it's fun. I've never heard of that happening, but that
no.
would then actually be the problem. But you're asking somebody to bring you better information. You're saying, okay, that's probably not good enough. Let's go try and gather something greater than that.
It's like the Bob Edwards shooting screws story. That's example of like kind of everything happening all at once. But I think this is an important call out. I think we've said this a couple of times before. Doing HOP is often equated to doing learning teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have significantly more opportunities to quote unquote do HOP if you apply it to these everyday conversations and then the information we're giving, the follow-up questions that we're asking.
Yes.
And that's doing HOP. And yeah, it's actually nothing you said there was safety related.
Hundreds of times a day, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to, yeah, and it doesn't take a lot more energy or effort. In fact, most of the time, it helps you not go down the path of trying to solve the wrong problems.
It's not like you're not waiting for someone to say, "Hey, we had a near miss," and you're like, "We can finally do HOP. We can do a learning team about it." It's not what we're advocating at all.
Yeah.
You see, right, I
so
said
that,
advocating.
That's the example. You got it.
I'm pretty good at this stuff. I'm a fast learner.
That's your weakness word.
It's also like a 25 episode callback.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that example seems to help people so much so that I get surprised as to how much it helps people. So I was like, well, maybe we should give a few more so that there's a pattern that people can pick up on and what that looks like. So I just tried to think about some other examples that we've heard of common, I'm going to say, quote unquote, problems that people bring up, but they're really not fully formed problem statements. They're just kind of assumptions around something that they're seeing. So another example would be like, if somebody brought to a leader, hey, you know, the problems that we're having, it's really these guys, they're not following the rigging procedure. Like, and historically we use pre-HOP thought process. I mean, that answer of what people do seems quite obvious, but maybe it's not. So Matt, what would be the answer of like, if historically without this HOP thought process that was brought to a leader who's under stress and is just trying to do things quickly, hey, you know, the folks aren't following the rigging procedure, what are the types of solutions that people tend to put in place?
Well, we have to follow it. So we need to be firm, fair, and consistent on disciplinary actions that come from this. So when we find out people are not following it, we need to use a disciplinary action. We need to probably do a stand down, and we need to probably revisit the procedure with those people and make sure they're aware of it. We don't want to make any assumptions there. That's usually the nice part of it. We want to make sure they know that it's there and that they
know
where to
find it.
Maybe
they're not, you know, maybe they're newer, maybe they haven't been taught the rigging procedure well. So we need to.
Yeah. And so some of it depends on who these people are, but I think it's always falling back to the procedures are there and they need to be followed. And if someone's not following that, we need to slap on the wrist, get them back onto it, make sure we do it.
Yeah, so that train of thought has some underlying kind of belief systems of what the problem is, of like, well, it's maybe people are not educated, or maybe people are educated, but they just kind of don't want to. They don't see risk in doing it differently. And so we're going to sort of provide another sense of risk, another sense of fear by using disciplinary action. Like, so if they don't think that doing this improperly is risky in and of itself, well, then we're going to at least make people be afraid of perhaps losing their job for not following it and not putting in the extra effort, which then has this underlying assumption of, well, people are just being lazy and they're not putting safety as the forefront. They're putting production over safety. So there's all these layers and layers and layers and layers of assumptions that go into just taking that statement at face value and then acting on the statement. And so in redirecting the question back, all we're trying to do is get more information, like so that we have better problem statements. So once again, you take this statement that kind of points to the people need to be better people, better educated, better rule followers, less lazy, and you shift it back to looking at the system. And you can say something, you know, as simple as, hey, thanks for letting me know, but could you go learn about the current process and what is making it either unreasonable or not make a lot of sense to follow? And then you're still using, I want to be clear, you're still using assumptions to form that question. The assumptions are just different, right? So the shift in thought process in HOP is using a different layer of assumptions to direct how you're gathering information to capture a lot of the stuff that we haven't captured historically. The layering of assumptions here is that the process itself needs to be looked at, because the belief is that the people aren't any more lazy than other humans, right? Like, you can call them as lazy as you want, but they're just being as equally lazy as any other human would be, or as equally able to gather educational information based on how the training is as any other person would be. So they're following sort of a normal spectrum of you gather a group of humans, you put them through your current training process, you give them this this procedure, you put them in the circumstance they're in, that they're going to act and respond very similar to another group of people that you gathered and brought them through the same process. And so instead of trying to pick at the human, the layering of assumptions you're using is for the process. So you'd shift people back to say, hey, can you go learn about the procedure and the work that people are doing, and sort of see where the procedure and the work aren't matching up, that's making it feel either unreasonable or illogical or unnecessary to follow.
And I would just guess, I don't know, because these are all hypothetical, so I couldn't prove it. But I am guessing that this group was probably successful the day before, and the day before that,
yep,
and the day before that, and the day before that when doing rigging. So clearly they're doing something right. It's just not what our version of what we think is right looks like.
Yes. That's really an important point that you called out. I guess that's why I keep you around, you know?
Occasionally. I stumble upon something that's helpful.
Yeah. Just because it is different than what's written down doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong, right? So, yeah, period. And so by learning about it, we learn lots of different things to pay attention to, including whether or not the feedback loops today are broken of, you know, people acknowledging that there needed to be a change in the rigging process and not being able to articulate that well, or not feeling like they could articulate that. And so they just changed it without having discussions with peers or with leaders around them. So, yeah.
And I pulled up a quote that we took down yesterday from the same person who suggested we do videos.
From one of our favorite people in the world.
Yes, one of our favorite people. And it was how he describes HOP.
Mm.
And it was, the goal is to figure out the normal and then make the best normal a reality.
Yeah, it's so smart. That's such a smart quote.
And we've taken 56 episodes to get here. And he said it to us in passing, so in a comment. And it's everything you've said so far is just figuring out what the normal is like and then making it the best version of what feels normal for these people to go and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we give one more example and then let people stop whatever their run or their walk? We've heard most people are either walking or running or
driving.
I guess they'd probably finish driving if they got to their location and they wouldn't continue to listen. But
yeah, that'd be a high for walkers, bar for us to set, that they would just sit in their car until it's done.
Go past your destination, come back. There might be somebody sitting in a car right now, though, like at their location.
Yeah.
Just hoping that we're going to wrap this up.
And too bad. We have one more.
All right, one more example. So hopefully with three, the pattern becomes a little bit obvious of what we're trying to explain. So another example would be, you know, hey, the problem is, you know, people keep cutting corners in this procurement process and it's leading to, you know, all these downstream effects. Matthew, if you were going to guess the pre-HOP lens, what would that look like?
We had procurement processes that we cut corners on. I usually cut those corners, so it's hard for me to think. I mean, I think it probably defaults to doubling down on what we've said already, right? Like,
yeah,
you'd make sure that people knew what the procurement process was, why we have to follow it. We'd retrain, and then we would probably audit that we're doing it properly.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And if someone's egregious, we would slap some wrists.
Call the people that are part of the procurement process to tell them which part they cut corners on and make them redo it. And
yep.
Yeah. And so all of that thought process, the underlying assumptions there, once again, goes back to the belief that we kind of have a person problem, meaning it's kind of this unspoken truth to us that a better person would have followed the procurement process. And so then our actions, I'm getting choked up about it.
That was the smallest sip of water you had left. And I know you're hoping in your heart of hearts that it's going to help.
Hold on. I got to get an actual sip of water.
One second. No. I'll continue while you do this, which is probably just apologizing to my old boss that I cut corners on some procurement stuff. So I'll take this time to apologize. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm mostly sorry. I'm not really that sorry. I feel some remorse.
So then if you wanted to take out that underlying assumption around a better person would just follow this, and you wanted to replace it with a different assumption, which it's a systems oriented assumption of hey, there's probably something in the process that's making it logical to cut corners, then the question that you would ask, you'd redirect, would be, hey, you know, thanks for being able to kind of learn that we have corners being cut in this. Would you be willing to go out and have people help teach you in the procurement process, like, are there things that are arduous or illogical that's making it feel like cutting corners makes sense? And that's where you'd be gathering better information to act on, or more directed actions. You could have better problem statements, because as we know, great leaders make great decisions when they have great information.
So we keep saying, so we keep alleging. So my background being in the tech world, hearing someone's cutting corners in procurement, like I made the joke that it was me, but that was more on the red line part rather than like the true procurement process. And it sounds dangerous because we were owned at some point by a publicly traded company. Mm-hmm. So you're like, but that could be really bad. And it's like, yeah. But guess what? It's probably going to still happen, whether we think it's bad or not bad. We have to learn about what's actually happening and why it seems logical. Because the next person we put in there, if we remove the person that's cutting corners, it's probably going to get to the point where they're also cutting corners.
Yeah.
Because it's illogical. It stays illogical no matter who you put there.
Yep. And that's the trickiest part of coming to a place where thinking to ask the question becomes helpful in your mind, because unfortunately when we hear about these things, they're big enough consequences that you're not actually thinking very rationally at the time that you hear about it, right? Sounds dangerous to not follow the procurement process. It is physically dangerous to have, something that you're rigging fall. I mean, people mm-hmm. can die if mm-hmm. something isn't rigged properly. You can destroy massive amounts of either a product or if you're doing construction, put a construction project back immensely, have huge ramifications for your reputation.
Right? Dropping parts, you can not be able to produce your product, and therefore you fall behind. And guess what? In an economy that is shutting down factories.
Yeah.
Right. Like these are important. These are important. Yeah.
So yeah, all of it, because of the size of the consequence of the problem, it's hard to remember to learn more before acting, because you just really want to fix it really quickly. Okay, let's go fix it.
Yeah, it's to me it pushes on like, well, it sounds like we're saying accept it.
And yeah, that's what people hear between the lines. It sounds like we're saying accept it as a problem, and we're not at all.
No.
We're saying fix the real problem.
No, we're not saying that.
Yeah,
we're saying fix the real problem and understand what the actual problem is, rather than the assumptions we've used time and time again. Yeah. Let's get preachy at the end of this 30-minute podcast.
Perfect, because honestly, this was just something very obvious, right?
Something so obvious. But man. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk again soon.
Well, that's it.
Yep, another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's HOPPODCAST.com.
That's still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.